All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is July the 20th, 2024. Amazing day here on the East Side. Hope it's great wherever you are at. Still in the summer. Little cloudier today. Not so bad. Pretty oppressive for the last couple weeks, though. But not so bad today. Hope it's great wherever you are at. Thought I would sit down and see if I could do a podcast. I haven't done one for a few days, and, you know, what can I get off of my chest? Came home, my kids are like, you know, of course, out of school. They want to go to the Jungle Gym water park, and my oldest son's in town, so he took them, so I'm sort of just hanging. My wife's doing an adventure with our daughter, so I'm just home alone. I thought maybe I would come up and sit down and chat a bit. I've been to a couple meetings, went to a meeting last night. You know, I shared the other day, we had a tragedy happen in our community. And, you know, anytime small town, I think I even shared about it the other day. Turns out I know the mother, right? I know that's what happens in a small town. You know everybody. And when something like that happens, it hits all of us. And the worst part about it is I've done or did all of these things that these kids are doing today, right? I'm out having a joyride, doing whatever it is they're out doing, and it just ends up bad. And I've had so many situations like that as a kid. I say it all the time. I don't even know why I'm alive, right? We went left when we could have gone right, right? We could have, you know, made a turn here, and it could have ended bad going the other way. It's just random stuff, but it is still a tragedy, and you know, just sort of dealing with that. And of course, when something that like that, at least for me, happens, I immediately think of my own kids, right? And whew, kids, raising kids is tough. And to reflect on the behavior that I used to have and sprinkle that on their lives, I end up in fear and worry. And yeah, so they wanted to go to the water park today. I was going to let them go. I was just going to take them. But luckily, my oldest son is here in town, and he's like, I'll take them. And you know, I had to pay for his entryway, which is absolutely fine. But I don't know. Just, you know, hug your kids. Love your kids. They're awesome. We got a lot of, I mean, I feel like as a kid in my teens, we had a lot of challenges. But I feel like there's so many more opportunities today with the life and what these kids get to do. And, you know, it's tough balancing. You know, I personally would just like to keep them in the house and never let them go. But, you know, they grow up and they want to do stuff and they want to take on life. So it's just been kind of a rough week here in our town. I'm sure we've all experienced it, but my thoughts and prayers are with all families, friends, right? I mean, I knew the mother, right? I knew the mother of one of the kids, and I know hundreds of people that are associated with these families, and we're just one big family, and my thoughts and prayers obviously go out to all of them. The other tough part is all the virtue signaling. It's like, you know, when we have social media, everybody posts different things, and to me, I felt like it's just one of those times where I just need to kind of keep my mouth shut and just, you know, pray and say prayers. But I do want to say my thoughts and prayers are with all of those families and my friends that are all affected by, you know, unfortunately, this situation.
If you're free tomorrow, don't make any plans. We can go to Sylvan Park and kick over trash cans. Magazine next to the toilet.
New Kings of Leon, Mustang. What an amazing... Big fan of that band. Sort of fell away from that band for a while, but this new album is really good. Funny thing about that band, I do not particularly care to watch them. I don't know why. Great-looking group, good-looking guys. I'm sure... I actually saw Kings of Leon open for Pearl Jam, I don't know, many years ago. All I remember is they were freaking so loud. And but... check them out, man. Kings of Leon, that is a great... this whole album is great. Old-style Kings of Leon, if you're into them. It's been great to sort of dive into that album. But, yeah. So, anyway, I just... you know, I've been to a couple meetings. Still, obviously, working on recovery. Went to a meeting last night. I went to a meeting on Wednesday. Struggling a little with meetings, you know. If I'm going to be honest, just... you know, this is the hard part, I think, of... what we're supposed to do, or what I am supposed to do, which is to continue to go to meetings, to be there for the next person. And 100 voices, right, tell me, oh, same old shit, right? Same old thing. Especially, you know, I try to incorporate step meetings into my world. And, you know, once again, we, you know, had the 10th step, which I think I shared about the other day, which is, you know, so important. But, you know, in 10 weeks or 12 weeks, I'll be doing the 10th step again. So it gets a little monotonous. I know this is where, if I was new, I would probably be struggling to get to meetings, but unfortunately and fortunately, I've been to both sides and I know how important it is for me to continue. And so I continue. And so I went to the meeting last night, went to the meeting on Wednesday. It was good. A couple guys celebrated, you know, just good recovery, right? A couple guys. The one guy, I think he had 4 years, and, you know, he was, I think, in the four-year doldrums of recovery, right? And the other guy had a little bit longer. I think he had 9 years. And the cool thing about people with 9 years of recovery, what I've experienced, and, you know, I may be wrong, but 9, 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, I think is when that spiritual awakening starts to happen. And I've talked to people that have claimed, right, or think they have had it early, and maybe they have, and that's awesome. There's no rules, but for me, I know at least it's only been in the last 3 or 4 years where I started to really, all of this stuff started to come together, and I started to realize that it's about fear for me, and a new relationship with God, one that I did not expect, and this new place of peace and freedom from all of the shortcomings and character defects that I've carried around and all the work that I've done to identify them and try to change them, right? And even in that 10 step where we continue to take our that inventory, right? We continue to do dumb things. At this point, we start recognizing it. Maybe I should stop, right? Maybe I need to change that, right? Maybe that's a shortcoming I missed, right? And so they continue to work. And it isn't because I've been told to or I need to or I have to. It's because there's a feeling in my spirit and my soul that I appreciate, right? And those kind of behaviors let me out of that place. And so, you know, the one guy who was celebrating 9 years, he had talked to me before, and he goes, you know, me and you have a connection. He says, I have a connection with you. And I was like, you know, I appreciate that. You know, I go to a meeting. One of the meetings I go to is a small meeting, and I've shared, you know, trying to explain the spiritual awakening that I feel like I'm going through, and not sounding like a pain in the ass, right? But I've had people come up to me privately and say, you know, I appreciate what you're sharing, right? You know, it's not this thing that we have to do. There is no, I'm not getting in trouble if I don't. Would I lose everything? Probably, right? Would I lose all the things that I've worked for and, you know, and gotten to? Pretty quickly, I think I would. But I don't not drink for that. I don't drink because of this new relationship with God that I've had and continue to have. And it's not perfect, but I look at recovery and my path completely different than the way that I used to. And so anyway, I, you know, went to a meeting last night. My buddy, a friend of mine shared. He's got like 10 months. You know, he's not drinking, which is great. He reminds me a lot of myself when I first came in. I just wanted to get better, and I just wanted to catch up, and I hated the place that I was at, and so I wanted to put that time and my experience or that time in my life as far behind me as I could. And I did that through, you know, going back to school, relationships, getting married, you know, all of the things that are scary early on in recovery. They seem perfect, right? They seem like, look, I got my own apartment. I'm winning, right? And the problem is when all the great things come back to us, or when they started coming back to me, I started to lose my focus on what allowed me to get there, which was working on my recovery with an open mind. And he's doing good, but, you know, and I also don't want to be the guy that, like, you know, you're going to see what's going to happen, right? But, you know, his journey is his journey. Hopefully, you know, he's surrounded by a lot of cool people that have a lot of great advice, and he, you know, gets through it. But, you know, it's just a little reminder for me. But the his topic, right, after he shared, he did a nice job. He did a nice job sharing. But the topic was gratitude. And, you know, gratitude, some people hate that topic. I don't mind the topic because I think early on it's easy to be grateful, right? I shared the first day I drove home not drunk. I was so grateful, right? But what I shared last night is, you know, that one of the transitions for me that I've had to start doing is to become grateful for the bad times, the tough times, right? The times where early on getting sober, I was a victim of, right? You know, there's a lot of incidents in my life I shared, you know, during the 8th and 9th step, you know, making that list of all the people that I had harmed, right? Because I didn't have the accountability. I didn't have the grace. I didn't have the humility to be able to look 2-3 steps farther into every incident that have ever that has ever happened to me in my life, right? Early on, I just looked at the first, you know, I've shared, you know, different incidents happening with different people where I ended up getting the shitty end of the stick and being a victim of that and blaming them and, you know, not being able to look 2 and 3 steps past that and realize, you know, which would later come, you know, in the last couple of years to realize that I was actually the reason that it happened in the first place, right? I couldn't see that. All I could see was what happened to me, how I was self-affected. And when I started to be able to do that, it changed everything. And this, you know, in the last few podcasts I've even talked about, you know, this, I don't have to, I get to, you know, there is a, there is a transition that happens. It happened, I mean, there's a transition that happened to me where I started to be able to see both sides of it, right? I started to be able to put my feet in other people's shoes. And it's really changed my life, right? Because now I can clean it up, right? I said in the meeting, I wish I knew the guy that punched me in San Diego. I wish I knew what his name was and where he lived. I'd fly there today and apologize, right? Because for many years, I blamed that guy, right? And it wasn't till I realized you shouldn't have been there in the first place that I could start to find some accountability and realize that it was actually my own fault, right? And so gratitude for me is not only being grateful that I don't drink today, that I have, you know, all of the wonderful things, right, that come to me in my life, which in the end really are just normal things, right? When you're as low and out of sorts as I was, to get a decent job, right, felt like I was freaking winning the Olympics, right? When I found a decent girlfriend, right, that wasn't drunk or on drugs or stealing or tweaking, I thought that I had hit the lottery. And when I got a decent, you know, went to college and actually finished with good grades, I thought that, you know, a miracle had taken place. And the reality is all of these things are normal, right? These are normal things that come to normal people doing normal stuff that aren't affected by drugs and alcohol and consumed by self. They're just normal, right? But back then I'm like, oh my God. And, you know, so when all of these wonderful things start happening to me, of course I'm going to be grateful, right? I'm full of gratitude, right? But it wasn't until I could start looking at the bad things, right? And I could start to feel the humility and really take a hard look. And, you know, to me, that is the miracle. That is a miracle. And I'm just so grateful for it today that, and, you know, when I was listening to my buddy, and I've talked about him, he's a good guy, but he is, you know, he's sort of a victim, right? He's a victim of alcohol. And, you know, him and many other stories, I've known many people that are, you know, usually due to our behavior, we lose. Like when I was drinking and my wife walked out on me and took our kid, right? Everybody has a different story. Her philosophy was, get your shit together. I'm dropping our son off. You have him for the week. Pull your head out of your ass. And I was like, yeah. But there are stories where, you know, the wife or the husband aren't as willing to allow interaction with the kids at first. And I've talked to people, and, you know, my buddy is one of them. You know, he's still, he has this, you know, I haven't got to see my kids. And I remember back in those days and being pissed. Like, it wasn't my kids, but it was something else, right? Somebody was doing something that I didn't want, and I blamed them. And, you know, the miracle starts to happen when you can start to appreciate, right? My buddy Matt used to say, none of this will matter in 5 years. And he was right, right? Whether it's not being able to see your kids, whether it's having to pay money that you don't feel like you have to pay, right? Which is not fair, right? When I was getting divorced and I had to buy, you know, we had a house and she left and, you know, we had to split up, you know, any money that we had made in our house. And I didn't feel like that was fair. Today, you know, today I look back and I'm, you know, I'm grateful. And not only back then was it not fair, but she didn't deserve it, right? That ain't fair. And today, you know, I look at it and I'm like, without her at that time, we wouldn't have had the house in the first place, right? She contributed to that house just as much as I did, right? So everything that she got, she deserved, right? But you couldn't tell me that then. I'm like, that bitch, right? You know, it's not fair what she's doing to me. And today, obviously we've had time, right? It's been almost 20 years. But I can see it today, right? I can see, you know, the lady did me a favor. She probably shouldn't have even married me, right? But, you know, we all make mistakes. But, you know, the outcome was I had to pay her and I wasn't happy about it. But over time, I would realize that, you know, she did me a favor. And I appreciate that because we have to move forward. And one of my buddy's gripes is that he can't see his kids. And I think it's, and I tell him, time, right? Just do good. You know, clean yourself up, get your life back together. People sometimes can see things about us that I know I can't see. And sometimes we're just not ready, right? We might think we're ready, but life isn't quite ready for us. And, but it just takes time, right? And it's working these steps and, you know, the moral inventory and the fifth step. And, you know, when we get into the shortcomings and the character defects and we do those and we really shine a light on that stuff. And we're like, oh my God, like, you know, there's still people. I know people with 30 years that are still trying to work on their shortcomings and character defects, right? Sarcasm. Sarcasm's a big one. You know, picking at people, being funny. You know, that is, to me, it's a shortcoming. That's a character defect. And, you know, we can be 30 years sober and still doing that stuff. And that's the kind of stuff I think that keeps, when I was doing it, keeps me sick, right? And when we're have one foot in one and another foot in the other, it's hard to start to find the grace and the humility to see, you know, the good and the bad, right? The good things that are really for so long I have thought were bad. And, but that's how, you know, that's how I know. Usually most new people that come in the program usually have some sort of gripe against their ex-partner and or their parents, right? Their parents take them in and then eventually start to throw them out. Oh, all right, well, that was my kid calling. Forgot their money, so now they're coming back. But, yeah, anyway, I don't know. It's just, you know, the whole point is that this transition of when we can start to become ready to realize the role that we play and that everybody isn't actually against us and that we sort of deserve what we get, right? I don't know. But yeah, that's so that was the meeting I went to the other night. And like I said, the topic was on gratitude. And I love, you know, I'm so grateful today of being sober. I don't know how I got so lucky, but I know I put in the work, right? And it is for today. And, You know, if you are new to getting sober and this is all new to you, just hang in there, right? And if you got a beef with a bunch of people, just be patient. If you work these steps and you work a program and you find a new relationship with a higher power, your heart will loosen and soften, and you will, I know for me, I started to realize that I played a bigger role in more of my problems than I realized. And, you know, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. And we start to become grateful for the bad shit that happened, as well as all the great shit that's happening too. Because, you know, there's a lot of tough times I had early on where it didn't go my way. And I felt like I was being treated badly. I'm like, look how good I'm doing. And this is what I get, right? And I couldn't see the freaking trees through the forest. And today I look back and I'm grateful for all of the good and the bad that has ever happened to me. I remember I used to say how grateful I am I'm an alcoholic. And my buddy who shared the other night used to really piss him off. How can you be grateful to be an alcoholic? And I'm like, because if it wasn't for this spiritual imbalance that I suffer from, I would have never been given the opportunity to go through these steps and learn about the real person that I am, because it's just easy to blame alcohol, right? It's, you know, alcohol got me here, so if I remove the alcohol, it should fix everything, and it just doesn't, right? It's a spiritual imbalance, and these steps are really the only thing that could fix me one day at a time, right? These demons show up all the time. They show up in different forms, and, you know, sometimes I think things are going great, and those can be some of my worst days. And then I have days that are really tough and inconvenient. And at the end of the day, those can be some of my best days, right? But I had to get to a place in my life where I could see that. And that is not always easy. So, but yeah. If you're just new, keep hanging in there. You know, just don't drink, right? Go to a lot of meetings. Work with a sponsor. And just, you know, hang in there. All right, let me see if I can do a quick read here. Yeah, and I'll say it right now, being an alcoholic is the best thing that ever happened to me. And that was the other thing I shared last night. You know, I drank after 5 years, best thing I ever did, right? But if you were in a room with a bunch of people, they would say, what does he mean? But luckily I was able to drink, or I wasn't able. I just picked up, I had taken a 5-year break from being full self, right? And I picked up that damn drink. And I lost everything, and then I was able to come back with a different perspective of not a person that had to, but as a person that gets to, and it just changed everything. And, you know, all I gave away was the time, right? I still had gone to a lot of meetings, and I had learned a lot of things, and I was able to continue to use those in the next path towards recovery. And but, you know, that blows people away. How can you be grateful you drank? Listen, I needed to. I was a fucking self-centered, I was a dry drunk is what I was. And it's almost worse, I think. All right, let's see. July 20th, shortcomings removed. I like the title of that. But now the words of myself, I am nothing, the Father doeth the work, began to carry bright promise and meaning. Let me read that again. But now the words of myself, I am nothing. The Father doeth the works. Begin to carry bright promise and meaning. 12 steps, 12 traditions. When I put the seventh step into action, I must remember that there are no blanks to fill in. It doesn't say humbly ask him to fill in the blank, remove our shortcomings. For years, I filled in the imaginary blanks with help me. Yeah. Give me the courage to, and give me the strength, etc. The step says simply that God will remove my shortcomings. The only footwork I must do is humbly ask, which for me means asking with the knowledge that of myself I am nothing. The Father within doeth the work. Yeah. Oh, man, that's a whole nother freaking podcast. But I, you know, that's humbly asked him, right? That always, you know, that used to kind of throw me. But, you know, what that says to me is, you know, it's not like I ask God. And I always say this, I have this new relationship with the higher power. I don't ask God to help me. The uncomfortable, unhappy feeling that I feel in my soul when a shortcoming or a character defect appears makes me want to, for one, clean it up, right? Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So not only do I want to clean it up, but I also want to figure out what it is I'm doing that it's got me to this point where I'm having to make these amends. But it's not like I hear a voice from God saying, you need to stop being sarcastic, right? I have to take a hard look and be honest about it, right? And find the humility, right? And find the gratitude, right? That I can see the bad things that I do, not because of a voice, but of a feeling, right? A feeling, because when that happens, like my buddy Steve says, you let go of the hand of God. And I don't like letting go of the hand of God. And it happens throughout the day, right? You know, it happened today. I had a client that didn't show up. You know, I was a little pissed, right? I'm all of a sudden being a little judgmental. I'm not holding the hand of God. And then I'm like, you need to chill out, man. Put my feet in their shoes and understand, you know, we have tons of traffic and it's chaotic here. And so shit happens. But, you know, it's not because, Tom, you shouldn't be just thinking like that. It disrupts my peace. Right? It's too much yang for my yang, right? That symbol, the yin-yang sign, there's a lot to that, right? You can't have more of one than the other. And my whole life has been too much yang. I've had the dark side was bigger than the little white side, right? And now I feel like I've sort of got those things balanced out. But when they become imbalanced, it's not because I don't adjust it because of a God's voice, right? Which I had always searched for. Where's God's voice? How come God isn't talking to me, right? He talks to me through my solar plexus, my guts, my heart, my soul, my peace. And when that gets disrupted, I know what's up, right? And so that's a great reading. That's Daily Reflections. The only footwork I must do is humbly ask, which for me means asking with the knowledge that of myself I am nothing. The Father within doeth the work. That's right. All right. Well, hey, thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day. If you're new, hang in there. Just hang in there. And it definitely gets better. All right, later.